I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest.
Yes, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back once again. And this week, we're talking about a Netflix phenomenon known as Is It Cake? And here with me to talk about the things that are real, things that are cake. A man who is not cake is Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I've been told I was cake before. Yes. Make no mistake.
Yes. Yes.
Chocolate, to be exact, with nuts. At least that's what they tell me. Like a praline situation. Oh, yeah. Yes. You'd yes. be surprised. It's painfully obvious sometimes. What's up, Rob?
Yes. Chappelle, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? What's been going on?
Just, you know, podcasting away, talking about all these crazy shows. I was excited to be back here with you. Are you a big cake guy?
In what context?
Like desserts.
Oh yeah, sometimes I eat like a normal cake. Like I don't like a wedding cake, cakes with a lot of fondant.
You know, fondant. Icing. That's the word of the day.
It is the word of the day, but you know, I'm not a big like extra shit on cake. You know, like I like give me like the cake, like the basic cake with a little, maybe like a little frosting, but that's it. Like, I don't want a wedding cake, a birthday cake, sheet cake, none of that. I'm good.
Okay. And have you ever had a cake that was supposed to be something else?
No. But now I'm kind of intrigued. There was a moment, you know, during the peak of like the quarantining, yeah, where you get on Twitter and everything is cake and it was just driving me crazy. But now that I've watched the show, I don't think I would be upset if somebody handed me like a laptop that was a cake. I think it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a payphone that was a cake. You know?
Payphone. Wow. That should be the first tip off that it was cake.
Why? Why? You don't see payphones often, Rob?
No, there are no more payphones.
Get out more, Rob. You don't know. No, you're right. You're right. If somebody handed you a payphone that's a cake, just don't touch it. If someone's, mm-hmm. if you even see a payphone, just don't touch it because it's got to be gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe if you were at like a Maroon 5 concert.
Oh my God. No. Yeah. I would try to sing it, but I can just know where I
from the Maroon
note.
5 concert, you have a payphone cake.
Yeah. If happy never after, or what is it? Yeah, if happy ever after never ends, or whatever did exist, I don't know the lyrics. Okay. Just know it's not cake.
All right. So one of the first podcasts that I did with this person, we talked about an episode of Catfish, and this is kind of like Cakefish, where they trick you. It's not really the thing you thought it was. It was cake. Please welcome in Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Hi, Rob. Hi, Chappelle. You know, it's so funny. We talked for about 20 minutes before this podcast started, and I was like, this dog, I'm dog sitting. He's like going to be chill. He did not say a peep. And literally the second you started recording, he went crazy. So hopefully he chills out the rest of the podcast. Maybe I should give him some cake to calm him down. I agree with you, Chappelle. I have strong feelings on cake too. Like, I completely agree because I hate like excessive frosting, excessive buttercream frosting. I will literally wipe it off the cake and just eat the cake. My favorite cake, maybe this is just like indicative of childhood, are those boxed cakes. I love them so much.
What's a boxed cake?
It's like the Duncan Hines boxed cake that you get at the grocery store that your mom makes you for your birthday. If I would rather eat that $2 boxed cake any day over a bakery cake. Mm-hmm. Like hands down. But this series, like, I honestly went in being like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so bad and stupid. I have a hot take, and it's that I found it completely delightful.
Delightful.
I did.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So Maggie, Rob and I talked about the Great British Baking Show, mm-hmm. And Rob really enjoyed it, but I get the sense that Rob doesn't have strong feelings about this one, but I agree with you, Maggie. I think that this, like, this is some lighthearted, good, fun TV. It's a competition in a way that the Great British Baking Show just is not, because there's no prize on that show. It's just like a plate. But here they're trying to win money. And so I was very excited to get into the competition aspect of the show. And I was still trying to work out how the tournament really works, because there's a whole format. Like, you really need to watch them in order. But it was a good time. I agree.
Yeah, I would say, just to give my quick take, that I feel like that the parts where they are deciding, is it cake, were fun. Like, I feel like that I could enjoy this more as if this was sort of like a 10-minute episodes of just like, keep bringing out the things. Is it cake? I did not care about the making of the fake cakes in the way that I really did enjoy the Great British Bake Off, that I felt like I really enjoyed like the craftsmanship of like what went into each thing. Cause I felt like that was serious. You were making a serious cake. I didn't care necessarily so much about how you're making a fake shoelace.
Yeah, I feel like, Rob, though, this comparison of like Great British Bake Off to this show is sort of like comparing like Moonlight to like Tyler Perry's Medea's Home. Like, it's just like not the same.
How dare you, Maggie?
You know, you know, like, they both have value, right? People love both of them. But like, it's not like the Great British Baking Show is like the best home bakers. They get off of the show and they're massive celebrities in England. Like, Chappelle, you're like, they don't win money, but they do, because they win like careers as bakers, like truly, like spinoff shows, cookbooks, everything. They become massive celebrities. And this show is like, they're going to walk away with that $5,000 and that's probably all they're going to get from the show. And maybe some Instagram followers, you know, but like,
yeah,
and it's like very shticky, this versus the other one, like Great British Baking Show, which is about like craftsmanship. And this is like the shtick of like, how well can you make something look like another thing? But I felt like the show itself, Is It Cake, like, knew what it was, because it's from the production company that does Nailed It, which is also like very self-aware. So I felt like they came in, like, what would have sucked is if they came in like acting like it was Great British Bake Off, like level, like serious. And yeah, they were like, the shoelace is specific, but like then Mikey Day had like a giant sword and was like stabbing a money bag. Like they knew that it was like camp fun, you know, so that made it easier for me to digest.
Right. So for any of the listeners who, like Maggie, don't necessarily watch the content, but they just listen to the podcast every week, it's very simple. It's psychological warfare. Talented bakers make hyper-realistic cakes with the goal to fool our judges. At least that's how they describe it. And so, yeah, the people are baking cakes to appear like everyday objects. And we talked about the first two episodes here, where I guess like the themes were like, can you make this cake look like fashion? And can you make this cake look like other random foods? Fast foods. And so, yeah, throughout, they're not taking themselves very seriously, because they know, I'm trying to make this cake look like three tacos, you know, so this can't be that serious. But they do take a lot of care into actually making the cake. We just don't have to sit through the nuance of all that. They tell us what the ingredients are, but they're not giving us the ins and outs of like their baking struggles. They're just more like talking about the decorating struggles. I guess that's more of the content here.
Just to like put it more succinctly, my feeling is an episode of Is It Cake doesn't need to be 37 minutes.
Sure.
Could have been an email.
could have been an email.
I mean, hard agree.
Yeah.
I think it could have been a tight 25.
Right. Yeah.
These could have been TikToks. Let's be very clear.
They were.
Yeah. Some of them were. I agree. Like, it might be a pinch too long, because, you know, like, you could have squeezed, like, they could have done six seasons of this within like a month, honestly. But I do have questions about the timing, because it seemed like every episode is over the course of 8 hours, and they make the peanut gallery kind of sit there and watch them for 8 hours.
Yes. It must be very boring to not be selected as one of the bakers who do not get into the game that day.
Yeah. Cause you have to watch. You have to sit there for, and I cannot believe these people are sitting there for 8 hours, but like, that we are led to believe that, okay, if you do not get selected, they do like a mini competition to determine who's going to be up first. And then if you don't get selected, you have to sit over in the corner
and watch.
The
Price is Right.
Yeah, but it's also so you can strategize, you know, so you need to know who your competition is going to be. You can watch them, but it's 8 hours. There's no way I'm sitting anywhere for 8 hours and watching somebody make a cake.
I imagine that they're probably there for 2 of the 8 hours, like getting the shots of them sitting there. Because I feel like the 8 hours, like there were had to have been huge holes in like the people's construction because I mean, they had to bake a full cake, bake and cool a full cake. So, and that's 2 hours of time, right?
Yeah.
So that's 2 hours of time before they even started decorating to try to make it look like, you know, whatever the other thing is that they're trying to make it look like. So I imagine that it's like, okay, you guys bake the cake. We're going to go to lunch and we'll be back.
Right. Yeah. Once you put it in the oven, it's kind of like, well, what are we doing here now? You know, like,
yeah.
Just like sit here and chill. But I enjoyed it, Rob. I even enjoyed the format, you know, like, so they start off with the first challenge.
The format.
Yeah. You get find that cake. That is the first segment of the episodes. It's where they bring out like, they'll bring out 6 different items and you have to, from probably what, 30 yards away, determine if this item on a pedestal is the actual food or is it cake. You have to, you know, be able to eyeball it from across the room, which one is cake. And I just think that is probably a big ask. Don't you, Maggie?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the reason that the show works. Like, there's no way that if you were up closer to these things, like, you would ever get somebody getting fooled. Like, the reason that you're 30 yards away is because then you could possibly get fooled. Because, I mean, the skill on these bakers is absolutely incredible. Like, I never could do, I can't even make a regular cake. The boxed cake is as far as I go. But, like, I mean, next to a real purse, like, your purse is not going to look like a real purse. So, I think it's just like, they need to do it that far away in order to make the show work at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is great. I mean, we get right into the episodes. Boom, episode one, you're putting it on. And within 2 minutes, Mikey Day is cutting things with a samurai sword. Okay, this is that what I tuned in for to watch. Is it cake? Great.
Yeah. I mean, the first challenge is to weed out, for my opinion, it was to weed out the frauds, you know, like, cause if you can't eyeball a cake from 30 yards across the room amongst decoy, like normal everyday items, then maybe you don't need to be in this competition. But they ended up just telling them, no, go sit to the side because this is almost tournament style.
Right.
And so the prize money here is that you can win up to $10,000. And basically in the first episode. And so if you win the main challenge, so you do the find the cake, you move on to the next round, you do the main challenge, you can win $5,000. And then they bring you to like not fast money, but like a bonus round where you can win an additional $5,000 equaling up to $10,000. And then if you win that, you stay on and have the next competition with 2 people.
Which
of
is
your
fun.
Choosing.
I like that part of it. Going back to the first part, my couple of questions are, one, is it the same skill set to be able to make fake cakes as it is to identify fake cakes?
Yes, I think so. Because if you're making a fake cake, you're going to know what you have to manipulate to make it look like another thing. Mm-hmm. So that's what you would be looking for when you're, you know, like you're going to look for, okay, are these sesame seeds on this burger real? Mm-hmm. Okay. The shape of the taco, is that real? Like you should be able to identify like the way that if you're a musician, you should be able to identify, you know, what the music that you're hearing, right. Like have the techniques that they're using. I think that that's pretty similar if you're a visual artist, which is what these bakers are.
Secondly, who made these fake cakes?
That's a good question because we don't get any background on the actual
decoy
cakes.
Where did these come from?
Right. But those are really good.
Are there like, other expert cake makers who are not in the competition?
Gotta be. They gotta be. Do you think these people are like waiting in the wings? Like if your cake is the one that isn't exposed, you get like grandfathered into the next round. You think they got like the all-stars in the background, you know, like
I don't know.
Really, really doing the heavy lifting when it comes to the cakes, because I agree that some of these cakes, if you are a cake maker, you probably could say like, that doesn't look like a cake. But for a second, I was very proud of myself because I knew that croissant was not cake.
You were
I was
good like, at this. If
that I knew that croissant wasn't cake. I can't speak on all the rest of them. I did write down the ones I knew and didn't know, and I am very embarrassed to talk about those. But that croissant, I was like, if that's cake, I'm walking out of here because I've eaten a lot of those in my life. Those tacos too. Come on now. These tacos.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Let's talk this through. Maggie, were you good at yourself at identifying what was cake and what was not?
No. But I did know, because the one that was cake, I didn't realize that it was cake, but the tacos, obviously I knew that the tacos were tacos. You could see the ground beef in them, you know, like that's not easily manipulated. And I thought, I was shocked that he picked tacos in the first one, because I feel like that's the hardest one, because it's just a bunch of hard stuff. Shell. Like, yeah. Exactly. A bunch of stuff layered, like all together, versus, you know, like a sandwich where they're all laying on top of each other, like connected, versus like a bunch of loose things, you know, mm-hmm. on a taco. But no, I wasn't awesome at it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I was not awesome at it, but I feel like that after the first episode, I think I felt like that I learned the trick, is that the thing that looks the most perfect is the cake.
Mm. Yeah, because it's harder to put the natural details of like a taco shell and, mm-hmm. you know, lettuce. And like in the second episode, of course, like the purses had like the leathers and the stitching and stuff like mm-hmm. that. It's like, yeah, it's like if you like meticulously put this thing together as cake, then it's going to be very smooth in areas that it probably would have a lot more texture to. And they do a good job of trying to import like implement some of that and texture. But when it comes to the fast food, they were looking at these burgers and they're like, those sesame seeds, those are the immaculate ass sesame seeds. I don't think those sesame seeds are real. Like that, I ain't never seen a sesame seed that perfect. And they were right, you know, so I think you probably are onto something right there.
Yeah. Maggie, it's just like when we talked about catfishing, that, you know, if you're being catfished by somebody who's like this like perfect, like 10 out of 10, it's like, oh, this is fake. This is like, this person's not, or just like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, you'll have better success if you use a 6 out of 10 person's photo for catfishing.
That's the secret to is it cake too?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a controversy, like maybe, yes. I think there was controversy in the first episode. Oh. I don't know if we want to get into this already, but no, I have a problem with the winner of the first episode. Because he's a cheater pumpkin eater.
No. Johnny had to fight. Like, he was given the same tools everybody else was given, and he gamed the system, Maggie. It was strategy. Well, what do you want from the man?
Yeah, why do you feel like he cheated, Maggie?
He put fake, like, cake stuff on the decoy ones. How is that allowed?
Yes.
Emerging gameplay.
For the listeners, it is. Listen, for the listeners, They give them the time to make their cake, but then about halfway through, Mikey Day brings out other like non-cake potential like decoys that you can use in your presentation. So you can like utilize this thing to make your cake look less like cake or more like cake, but it's normally just like an everyday like, you know, item like the tacos or something like that. So Johnny, our baker, who's only been baking for 3 years, he's like, I'm new to the game. He actually started during quarantine. As we know, people picked up a lot of, hobbies and stuff at that time, started businesses, and he's no different. But he decided to use the tacos, the real tacos, as his decoy by putting the fake tomatoes, the cake tomatoes, on the tacos, so that when the judges from across the room looked at the taco, they're like, there's no way that taco is real, because that's clearly cake sitting on top of it. And they fell for it.
How are you allowed to doctor the decoy ones? Like, that feels, because no, they didn't say like, this is what you can use. They said, these are the decoy ones that are going to be up there. They are going to guess which one is cake out of 5. These are the 4 other ones that are going to be up there, and you have to make a fake one. Use that as reference to what you are doing. They did not say anything about doctoring. So what, for the purse one, should they have put iced one of the sides of one of the purses?
Yeah.
Just put some fondant on it.
Fundamentally against what Johnny did. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I mean, obviously it wasn't against the rules, because they would have stopped him and not allowed him to do it, but
I don't know. Maybe they had to change the rules after the first episode. I don't know if we didn't watch every episode of the series. Maybe they do that more. But Maggie, you're not alone. On IMDb, on the first episode, the top review says, shockingly bad and winning by cheating. What is there to say? Literally everyone on the show is being annoying, but the host takes the cake and the first winner clearly cheated. If that's an easy way to get $10,000, then just send some to me. And to quote the cheater, I am so broke.
Look, relatable content. Johnny knew and understood the assignment. He said, I have to, like, the goal here is not to make a cake that, like, they love. Don't get me wrong. Taste comes into consideration later on in the season. But yes, the first thing you have to do is get the judges to make a bad decision about the cake. They don't have to know yours is cake. They just have to think that one of these other items is cake instead. They just got to get it screwed up. You have a 1 in 5 chance of getting these judges to select wrong. And the problem here is less with the format and more with the judges, because all three of the judges have 20 seconds to come to a consensus vote on which one of these 5 items is cake. And if you see, like, big ass cake tomato sitting on this taco, you're just going to instinctively click it. You're just going to pick the tacos. I do not fault Johnny for what he did. If they didn't want him to do it, they should have made the rules more clear. I don't know, Maggie. I'm against you on this one.
Well, I think that it's so interesting, Chappelle, because you're like, I think that fundamentally the way that the show is marketed is different than the way that you just described it, where it's like the goal of the show is to trick the people into thinking your cake is real. And the way you just described it is the goal of the show is to trick people into picking something else as cake.
Yes.
So, that makes sense to me, like, perfectly. But the problem is when you're watching the very first episode of the show and you're like, all right, he's gonna make a cake so realistic, and then the only reason he wins is because he, like, put his very obviously fake tomatoes that are on his cake, overloaded it onto real tacos. It's like, well, what are we even doing here?
I really wonder if this is the first episode, and clearly it's the first episode because they play, like, in a tournament style. And I wonder if, like, that nobody had thought of this before and nobody had said you can't do that. And there isn't somebody, like, necessarily, like, policing, like, to make sure that you are not doing that. And I wonder if they have a conversation after that for the first episode to change that rule moving forward.
I'm good with it. I'm really good with it. Because again, these are supposed to be the judges. They're supposed to be the experts. You're not supposed to be looking for obvious things that are like, that is, you should be able to look across the room and say, that is a taco with cake on it. But instead they're like, well, the easy way out is to pick that one. Cause they're the judges. They're supposed to be the experts.
No.
Like, you know,
I mean, it's,
you know,
like Fortune Feimster. I'm not sure if she's like a baking expert. Okay.
No, that's true. It's not like they brought in like the world's top baking gurus.
Yeah.
Here.
Like, here's some comedians.
It's not Allison Roman and Christina Tozzi. Okay. It's, you know, Michael Yeo.
Michael Yeo is a good baker in his own right. I just don't think this is the place where I would have him judging
Paul Hollywood.
Anything. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Paul Mary Berry.
Can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. If Paul Hollywood says it's cake, damn it, it's cake. I don't know. Like,
if he says it's cake, we're eating it, Chappelle.
Yeah. Laptop or not. I'm tired. We're going to taste it. I'll bite right into that payphone.
We haven't talked a lot about Mikey Day as the host of the show. Mikey Day, of course, a SNL veteran. Maggie, what'd you think about Mikey Day?
He hosted the show. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like him. He did such a good job.
No. I thought that the show itself is, this is my thought. Nicole Byer hosts Nailed It, which is the other show in the production company.
Right.
Nicole Byer is, like, I think the best current stand-up comedian out there right now. I think that she is so hilarious and brings such fantastic charisma. And I think that Mikey Day, it was his very first time, like, this is his first hosting job. He did a great job of keeping it moving. I thought that it was really cute, like, all of the ways that he was like, what is fondant? I thought that that was really charming and relatable, because again, the show knows what it is. It knows that the people watching this are not like, Allison Roman is not sitting down like, yeah, let's watch Is It Cake? It's like you and me. So he felt sort of like the voice of the people, you know, like watching and being like, whoa. But I think that, like, he probably just, like, will hit his stride a little bit more as it goes along and get more into the competition aspect of it. Cause I felt like it was a bit like, we're all here to have fun. And then, like, I'm hoping that he will dig into more like, oh, what an interesting choice. Like, why are you like, I would have questioned Johnny on his, like, you know, badass thing where he put all the fake tomatoes. Like, I think that that's like the hosting job within the show that I would want to see. you know?
Mike and Day is funny sometimes, you know, but on this show, I think he did what needed to happen, right? Like, he just kind of kept it light because we're just, I mean, like you said, Rob, this could have been a TikTok. This could have been an email. He has to be able to like almost like squeeze blood out of a turnip here. You know, like he's really like totally digging for content to talk about. He's like, oh, you know, has anybody used their Dresden tool today? And they're like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, I just Googled that. Sorry. You know, so he's trying. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. But yeah, he's no Nicole Byer, but who is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other person I think that's really good at this is, I don't know if you ever watched any Lego Masters, but Will Arnett is like in the same sort of role, because I think that it's tough when people are doing sort of like not always like exciting tasks. Like, it's really on the host in this spot to kind of keep the show moving and, you know, keep there being energy in that spot. And I feel like that Mikey Day was strong, even though I love Mikey Day. I think he's, you know, one of the most like underrated SNL people, both as like a writer and a performer. But I feel like that you really need to mix it up with the contestants like a lot more. Like, and Will Arnett does a really good job of that on Lego Masters. And I feel like that, I don't know if he didn't want to like disrupt them, but I think that you can mess with them.
I also wonder the pandemic, like, was he not allowed to get super close to them? Like, cause he was always on his little perch. Like, he didn't go from person to person, you know? And so I'm wondering, because I think that the best content out of Nailed It, the best content out of Great British Bake Off is when they're with the person individually and they're like, okay, so what are you doing? How are you sizing up the competition? What do you think about this? Like, how did it go last time? And he didn't really do that. And I'm wondering if it's COVID restrictions.
Right. There were moments where he tried to talk to the people who were watching in the gallery, like the other bakers. And so, yeah, he had, Rob's right. Yeah. Like his mixing it up with the contestants would probably be what Mikey Day needs to do here. But he kind of focused on the ones who are watching, because then you can go and banter with them where you don't feel like you're interrupting. One of the standouts of the episode was Andrew. It's like a big guy who has like all these tattoos and piercings and a huge beard and green hair, and the beard is green. And he's also a pastry chef from Iowa. His hair looks like cake. Yeah. The man could be cake and you couldn't tell me different. Like, again, if Paul Hollywood said he's cake, I'd bite him. But he's a pastry chef from Iowa, you know? And it was fun to see him kind of heckling as well, Mikey Day playing into that. And then, as we know, since this is tournament style, we know at some point Andrew is going to be in the hot seat as well, or at least could be in the hot seat. I think you have to get picked. Like, in the next round, the winner, Johnny, he got to pick who he got to go up against. So I wonder if there's a world where everybody doesn't get to participate in the competition.
No, because the people who already went had to sit out. So I think that they just like go down through the like people who have not baked yet.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's my guess.
I know in the second episode, Johnny does not do as well. And they say, hey, okay, you too will have another chance to bake. And I said, again? He already won $10,000. Like, what are you bringing him back for? A tournament of champions? I'm not sure. And so, I thought it was weird. But if Mikey Day had spent more time with the gallery and kind of getting to know the other contestants, I feel like there's plenty of time to do that. Like getting to know the people who are upcoming, it'll probably keep you more invested in the show, because now you're waiting on episode 4. Like, when is this person going to go? Because I'm actually interested to see what Andrew would do.
Yeah, I have to say that my favorite part of the show was when the judges come in. I enjoyed having the judges there. I felt like that was really the most fun part, because then you have more people who are funny. It's not just all on like Mikey Day to try to, you know, keep the show funny at that point. And the people they brought in, I thought were pretty fun. And I feel like that, if anything, I feel like that they don't give them enough time to deliberate about what's cake and what's not.
Yeah, and also they got to promote other Netflix properties as well, yes. Right? Because we saw Fresh Fried and Crispy host Dame Drops from Netflix. We saw
what's Fresh
actor.
Fried and Crispy? That's the name of
I don't know.
His special?
It's a Netflix show. Yeah, it's probably his Netflix special where he goes around and eats all the Fresh Fried and Crispy foods. But
okay,
it's on my to-do list now, because that guy looks like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to food.
Eat, review, repeat. Okay, coming to Netflix June 9th of 2021. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so it's already back. Available like, cool. Yeah.
It's so fantastic, because it's like so cool that Netflix has enough, talent now that has content on Netflix that they're like promoting their other Netflix content. I'm like, they're like a true network, you know, like Battle of the Network Stars or whatever. Like, they, pardon?
Yeah. Yeah. They already had like a Netflix Olympics.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
You guys should cover it. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I don't think it got a lot of publicity, but they did.
No kidding.
They did already do one. Yeah, should they have had, like, where was Shubi?
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Well, we didn't finish the entire season, so they could really bring in like the circle, like as hosts. Because in the first episode, they brought in people who you would think know a little bit about mm-hmm. food. They brought in Fresh Fried and Crispy host Dame Drops. They brought in a comedian and star of Sweet and Salty. Then they brought in a celebrity chef, yeah. Ronnie Wu, and they all know food. So I thought they were going to bring in food connoisseurs and people who
like, that would have made sense, no, just right?
Netflix people.
Mm-hmm. Right, but
where's
then
Shake
on the
from Love
very,
is Blind?
Yes, but then on the next episode, they brought in fashion people because the competition was about making fashion, like shopping mm-hmm. Items of clothing and stuff, purses, shoes. But I'm thinking, no, you want to bring in the food people still, because the food people should be able to say this is food, you know. And then it ultimately comes down to a taste test, so. They don't really get into a lot of like what's going into making the cake. They talk more about decorating it, but the tasting of the cake really does matter, because if the judges can unanimously decide, or like if there's a tie yeah. and they figure out each person's cake, it comes down to a taste test. And so I'm thinking, yeah, Michael Yeo probably knows what a good cake tastes like, but I'm pretty sure you can find a better cake taster, you know, than Michael Yeo, especially on Netflix. They have a deep bench, like you said. It's a very interesting choice for the judges, Maggie.
Well, you know, like I said, I think the show is self-aware and that this is like lighthearted, goofy fun. So they're going to bring lighthearted, goofy judges on it. It's not Great British Bake Off, where we're looking at Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry. Like, we have, you know, again, like Michael Yeo, Fortune Feimster. I'm looking at the Wikipedia for all of the people that they have. Like, Bobby Moynihan is on one. Lonnie Love, Brittany Broski, like really fun, exciting personalities who I feel like it's, you know, because you want, okay, so they have that 20 seconds to pick, and you're basically just watching these like celebrity judges like freak out and pick something, and that's fun, you know, like you like to see celebrities under pressure. That's funny. So I feel like that was sort of the idea behind it, because, yeah. you know, this is not, you know, like we're making the most decadent wedding cake possible for the Queen of England's celebration. Mm, yeah. Like, this is, you know, doesn't look like tacos.
Okay, hold on a second. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia myself now, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at all of the judges that appear. So episode 5, Cake Crashers, the three judges are Arturo Castro, who's from Broad City and Narcos, John Gabros, who is on Comedy Bang Bang, and Rebecca Black.
Where did they get Rebecca Black?
RB Rebecca Black. Does she have a Netflix property coming out?
I don't know. I hope so.
I guess they recorded on a Friday, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't know. Who called her? Was she just at home and got like a random phone call? Like, hey, this is Netflix. Do you want to judge our cakes?
Which cake should I eat?
No.
Wow.
That's such a bad joke, Rob.
Rebecca Black. I'm going to watch that one now.
That's funny. I wonder if she just has like the same manager as like Lonnie Love. You know, like maybe they were, her manager was booking another one of their people on the show, and they're like, hey, do you want Rebecca Black? And they were like, why not? Sure.
Get her out you there. Get her out there. She knows about
that's cake. Very funny.
Yeah.
Well, Maggie, you mentioned that the judges like are under pressure to make this choice. Is there any consequence for them not getting the guest in 20 seconds? Does it just default and the person automatically moves on to the next round? Like, why is there so much pressure on the judges?
I think my guess is that they're like, you have 20 seconds, and they have the 20 second clock. And then like, if they haven't picked it yet, they just start like yelling. The producers are like, pick, pick, pick. And like, it's longer than 20 seconds, but they still want like that frazzled, like, okay. And they press the button. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just like the outside pressure. And I also think that it's very obvious to me that these judges like did not know that that's the way that the setup was going to be. Like, I think they thought that they were going to be like, okay, this is what we think. Like, and they were going to be able to like sit and do it. And like, so very clearly all of them are thrown off by like the like 20 second thing. It's very funny.
Yeah. Because you have three judges who are not standing extremely close to each other, but they're 30 yards away from the cake. And now one judge has the button. So yeah. Like,
person in
like,
the middle pick has number four. Power.
Yeah, like pick more, number four, number five, number three. Like just pick. It's 20 seconds. It's 2 seconds. It's 2 seconds. Pick. It's like,
number
I picked
two,
number
my
one.
Lord. Number right. Two, number my two, lord. My lord.
Let's see Shrek what's jokes. Behind door number two. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Shrek jokes.
Mm-hmm. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, Maggie. Mm-hmm. You'd love this cake.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's very weird that they give the power to basically the person in the middle, but the other two people are shouting at them, which one should you pick? But Mikey Day does give them an opportunity to say, okay, well, what were the other guesses that y'all had? And they'll go and embarrass them too and be like, I knew it wasn't that one. Good, because yours was wrong too. But yeah, the added pressure from the judges is cool. I just really wish there was a consequence. Maybe there is. I didn't watch the entire season yet, but I hope that like, if the judges don't get it, like maybe the contestants get like a bonus or something like that. Maybe get like a little
smash
extra money.
A cake in their face.
Something. Give me something. You
that would
know,
be
just,
festive, Rob. Yeah, that would honestly be festive.
I think they don't want to like destroy cake like that. It's like they cut it, but then what? they eat it. They enjoy it.
They don't eat the whole cake, though. Like Mikey Day spends most of this episode destroying cake, to the point where he has a samurai sword and he's just like destroying cake.
He has like, a samurai sword and like a butcher knife at one point. He's like, ah! And I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
There's probably more cake wasted here than anything. And we haven't really talked about this, but I mean, they're probably better usage of this cake. Once you make it and you cut it, you should just give it to people. Feed some people. Maybe the people. I don't think there's a live audience. I don't think they never pan to a crowd.
I thought there was people in the audience.
Did they pan to the crowd? I think I heard like a studio audience button. Like, yeah. There's like an applause button, I'm sure. But I don't know if I ever saw anybody.
I could have sworn I saw some like limbs, cheering.
Yeah, like shadowy figures, like doing like fist pumping.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look. Yeah. See.
They can just distribute it to the crowd. You know. Just
hopefully there's
not
like a food bank nearby, but it's probably some very confused people at the food bank of like, wait, hold on. What is like a handbag donation. Like, no, it's right. Trust me.
No, I swear. Bite it. Eat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a bowling ball. I swear. Like, it looks like
I don't know what
ball.
You're trying to pull here, sir. That is right. That is a bowling ball. We do not need that.
Yeah, there's a lot of cake wasted here. Yeah, y'all, we didn't talk about my favorite part of episode one. Yeah,
by the way, I do see shots of reaction shots from an audience.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe it's not an audience. Maybe it's the people who aren't.
Think it's the other contestants. That's the audience.
Yeah, I forgot about them. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a COVID show, Rob. You don't know if we do live studio audiences all the time. You know, so maybe. That's the best we get. That's probably why the gallery exists, honestly, because you need somebody to react to this cake stuff, because it doesn't really work if Mikey Day is like, oh, shit, it's cake. Like, you need like a group participation. You want everybody to be wowed by the cake instead of just like Mikey Day and three, judges from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, my favorite moment of the first episode is my guy, Johnny. Because I was rooting against Johnny. I was like, Johnny, you showed up here with 3 years of cake experience. You learned how to make cakes on TikTok. I don't think you're cut out for this, sir. But then Johnny games the system. But halfway through, Johnny, with his lack of experience, his hands started to attack him. Up. Yeah, well, no, he said like a demon child had like risen up inside of his hands and started to make them close.
We'll talk about this on Celebrity Exorcism.
Oh, no. I still need to see the ratings on that one. I need to see how many ratings we've gotten, because I don't think we've agreed to that formally yet, Rob. But yes, Johnny is working diligently on this cake, and he's really trying to make the taco shell look like a taco shell. And so it's taking a lot of pressure, but his hands, they just start to basically attack himself. Mm-hmm. Like, and he freaks out. And then it comes back in the second episode where Johnny's hands just start to fail him. And I just think Johnny's not cut out for the competition. It's just, God. Yeah. Like, have demons ever taken control of your hands? Demon children specifically, I guess I should ask Rob.
No.
Look, if I've ever, because I type so much now, you know, it's 2022.
Yo.
I haven't physically written a lot of things.
Oh, I thought you were going to just right now blame the demon hands for some of your late night tweets.
How dare you? No, I don't tweet. That is not me. I don't know. Somebody, that is cake. That is not me.
Those were not tweets. Those were cake.
Is it Chappelle or cake?
Yeah, those are not Chappelle tweets. That's definitely cake. It's fondant. But no, I was going to say, if I write with a pencil for more than 20 minutes, my hand feels like it's about to fall off. I just don't use the pencil writing muscles anymore. I type so much. And so I felt Johnny in that moment. I was like, yes, please take these. I have delicate hands now. Mm-hmm. I would not be using manual labor and making.
Yeah. No, I understand too, because my grip strength is terrible. Absolutely terrible. To hang on a pole, it's not the arms, it's my fingers I would never be able to hold. So I understand poor Johnny. But, I'm not going to lie. I think Johnny is a very compelling reality television character. He's adorable. Yeah. He's sweet. He's smart. He's a little frazzled in the episode. He's funny. Mm-hmm. I think that he's great. I hope that we see him on another reality show sometime. I think that he's a great reality
Battle
character.
Of the Netflix reality stars?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. Johnny's gonna end up on a dating show. Throughout the first two episodes, he's talking about I'm single. I'm out here in the streets. I'm for everybody. Come get me. Johnny's I can make cakes. I'm funny. I'm frazzled. And I'm single. So check out Johnny if you want to get into it. He plugs his TikTok and his content because that's his business. He's a crazy cake maker on the interwebs, but he's also looking for love. And so I could
think he's getting a lot of DMs after this, Chappelle. Showing. I've seen a lot of thirst tweets about him.
All right, Johnny. Go off, Johnny.
Or hunger tweets.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Johnny made that.
They want some of his cake by the ocean.
Yeah. Poor Johnny. His hands were turning on him, and it's congratulations, Johnny, you win. You get to come back and make another cake tomorrow. Please. Can I have a day off? Can I rest?
8 hours to give. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no, Johnny. That's what you get for cheating. This is your punishment.
Come back.
Yeah. And the next cake he makes is not as good. He's trying to basically he makes a bucket hat. Johnny's never worn a bucket hat before. I don't know why he chose the bucket hat.
Bucket hat was a great choice. A bucket hat already looks like a cake. I feel that is very easy.
Yeah, I agree. And also I do not believe that Johnny's never worn a bucket hat before. Look at him. Mm-hmm. He's the prime Brooklyn bucket hat type guy. Mm-hmm.
Worn one? On the podcast about what's I feel like I get to learn so much about what's going on in Bushwick, right?
Yeah, Bushwick. Yeah. Exactly. It's so funny. On the season of Drag Race, there's a drag queen named Bosco who out of drag in the confessionals, I'm always that is a woman in Bushwick. That is mm-hmm. just at my bar that I go to, I always say to my friends, Bosco lives in Bushwick. I'm telling you, let's find her. She's somewhere out here. But yes, that's hilarious, Rob. Yes, I live in Bushwick.
Mm-hmm. I just realized Maggie, is this the first time we podcasted together?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
We had to have done some after Big Brother episode at some point.
I don't know.
Asia said that to me too. She's like, this is my first time podcasting with you. I was like, that is not true. Last time we podcasted together. But no. I can't believe that.
I don't know. I don't get a lot of the Brooklyn stories. That's why I'm thinking this might be new because I've heard the stories because I listen to your content. But I just
moved there last year. So maybe if we maybe I'm now feeling strong enough in my Brooklyn living to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh God, how obnoxious that one of my personality traits is that I live in frickin' Brooklyn. That is so embarrassing for me. Oh my God.
Not embarrassing. No, it's great podcast stories.
Sure.
Yes. Maggie, have you ever come across one of these cakes that look like other items in real life?
No. There's a lot of bakeries just in New York City in general. So I feel like it would be super easy to get my hands on a cake like this. Like all I would have to do is do a quick little Google search.
But can you go into a bakery like on the street and say like, hey, I need a cake that looks like Xbox?
No, I don't think so. But I do think that like I could do a quick Yelp search and find the like specialty cake place that, you know, I already though like have so many dietary restrictions that when I got a cake for my birthday, it was like a whole process where they had to use like coffee cake instead of it. So I feel like there's a lot of malleable bakeries around here that could, you know, doctor something up.
Chappelle, if you could have a cake that was in the form of some other inanimate object, what cake would you want?
Rob, this is such a hard question because it's kind of like you're asking me like, what inanimate object would I like to eat? That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
You know, like if there's an object like that you could just like a bedside table or something like that, like would you bite it? And I'm like, more times than not, yeah, I would. And so like, I don't really think that like this is a hard decision for me. Like maybe like a lamp, like, you know, like, yeah. Like, but like a lantern, not like a regular lamp, but just
like not the lanterns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think the judges, instead of punching on their keypad, should they have had to go up and bite the item that they think was cake?
That is 100%. Hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah. The idea of watching like Fortune Feimster go up to like a purse and be like, and like bite down is chef's kiss idea. You should have produced the show, Rob. You should have.
Yeah. No, have the person who made it just smash it in their face. So like it could be cake or it could be tacos. No,
I think that hands are tied behind their back. They go in face first. Oh, is it cake?
Like, how confident are you that this is
no,
cake?
No, no, it was a cake. Nope.
It was, in fact, a shoe. It was a shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, a shoe wouldn't be bad, Rob. You know, I am a sneakerhead. I would eat a shoe. I would enjoy that.
Shoe cake?
Yeah, I'd eat a shoe cake. You know, but I've seen these, like the... Not, I won't say miniature, but like the amateur versions of this, you know, where like you go to Walmart or something and you see like the cake that's made to look like the car from Cars, like Lightning McQueen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a little children's cake, you know, or like if you say Xbox, but I also seen like the older, like ratchet ones, you know, like, oh, you're in college and you just turned 23. And so it's a bottle of Ciroc, you know, but it's still not made. Yeah. You know, we've all
the
seen
martini
those
cakes. Glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, or I was really like, you know, Rob, sometimes women are a little extra. Those like bachelorette cakes.
No.
The ones that be shaped like symbols and figures.
Okay,
and like,
but what about the bachelor cakes?
We're not talking about don't move the goalpost here.
Are there cakes at bachelor parties?
Yeah, bachelor parties don't have cakes, Maggie.
If you go to a bachelor party and they bring out a cake, it's a bad bachelor party.
Remember back in like the 90s, wasn't it very popular? Like you bring out a big cake and then like a woman jumps out of it. It was a big deal.
I think that was only on TV. I don't think that ever happened once in real life.
I have a New York cake story, actually. I was at a club. It was a gay club in Hell's Kitchen. And I was there with a couple of my friends. And these people were doing like some type of bachelorette party. I don't know who... whatever. It was like a we're getting married party. And they had a cake that was shaped, you know, and it was a gay club. So you can assume what it was shaped like. And they were like, we're not going to eat all this. Do you guys want this? So me and my friends finished up the phallic cake at the club. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, it was cake. It was.
And it was so good.
No question about that.
Yeah. Did it have excessive frosting, Maggie?
It was purely funfetti, a great time. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, no. Maggie's like, I need to confirm that this is definitely cake before I bite it. Mm-hmm. Like 100% is cake. All right, please don't bite it until you know. But yeah, so I've seen these cakes in real life, you know, like the ones that look, but never just to this level of detail, you know. In episode 2, the woman who wins that competition, Nina, she makes a purse. But it has a strap and threading as well. She goes like the extra mile with making this cake.
Nina was fierce.
Yeah.
She was great.
At no point throughout the episode do you think she's not going to win that competition. Like, she just seems like she has yep. it all down. Like, this was the role she was born to play. Mm-hmm. You know, cake seamstress, or mm-hmm. I don't know, what do you call a person who makes purses? Seamstress? Like, designer?
Do they have a name? A purse maker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Purstress. Yeah.
We haven't talked about the bonus round of, you set it up, Chappelle, about how that, okay, the person who wins gets to play around, was it cake or cash? Is that what it's called?
Cake or cash.
Cake or yes. cash. And so they bring out two different containers stuffed with $5,000 cash in $100 bills. So... to me, I don't know that just doing the math. So $5,000 in $100 bills, isn't that just like 50 bills? Like, it's like a giant sack. Like, I feel like that, you know, like, I'm sure, like, if you have, like, you know, a stack of 100, it's like, sure, that looks pretty impressive. But I don't think it fills like a big sack like that. Unless it's like hundreds on the top and it's all ones inside the sack.
I think that the sack is either filled with cake or like styrofoam. Yeah. You know? Like, it's not like money is the other option here. Yeah. It's like cake or pillow stuffing.
So there's already some level of fraud going on here with what this is. But so there's a sack of money, two sacks of money, but one of them is cake. And you have to pick the one that is cake?
Cake.
Shouldn't it you have cake. To pick the one that is the money?
I mean, it's the same decision, really. You're picking the one. You got to look at them both and be like, well, that's what's cake to me.
Like, you pick out the one that is cake, and then you will get the money. It's like, no, which of these two things do you want?
The name of the show is it cake, Rob? Mm-hmm. They're picking, yeah, is not, it is cake? It
yeah, but I think it would have made more sense, though. So it's like, I was like, we're going to destroy the one that you pick. So if you picked out the money, say goodbye.
Oh, no, that is horrible. Like, if you pick the money and they just like destroy it in front of you,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like that would be pretty bad. If they just like, that's you pick the money, sorry, just like shred it, you know, mm-hmm. Throw it into an incinerator. No, but I guess it's because you force the judges to make this decision from across the room. So you should be able to do it, too. The judges have to decide which one is cake. And so do you. And so then the first episode, Johnny does a really good job of identifying it. Personally, I was vindicated because I too realized that was the cake. But in the second episode, I was not as lucky. I don't know what it was.
Oh, I knew. Moment.
How'd you know?
See,
one of the shopping bags was like face, like leaning forward. So I knew it was real because they wouldn't have made a cake that was leaning forward. Yeah. So that's how I knew.
Oh, look at mm-hmm. you. Mm.
See, now I got to watch the episode 3 to redeem myself, because like when Mikey Day walks over to it, it was at that moment I knew. I said, like, God dang it, that's the money. Because I saw the money move a little bit. Like, you know, I was mm-hmm. like, I feel like cake doesn't really like move. It's like if you wiggle it, like the money isn't going to like be like, you know, mm-hmm. as flexible. And so I realized it, but it was too late. I already made my decision and I had mm-hmm. to live with it. But I will be watching episode 3 now, because now I know what to look for in the cake bag. It was definitely leaning forward.
Yeah.
Rob, did you get any of these right?
It's hard to say, because I watched them twice. I watched the first episode twice. I watched it once with my kids, and my kids really liked it, but you know, and maybe that's where my frustration was, that like I was watching with my kids and the parts where they were like guessing, is it cake? My kids were really interested in, and then it was like, then when they weren't guessing which is the real cake, then my kids were like leaving the room and totally like uninterested. So
yeah,
that made it sort of a less fun viewing experience for me to be watching this as a family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's so interesting. I it's so funny when you were talking about, cause I was wondering if you watched it with your kids, cause I do feel like it's a good show mm-hmm. to watch, you know, with kids. And, when you were asking Chappelle, like what inanimate object he would want, I was like, I wonder if Dominic watched it. Cause I feel like for his, I don't know when his birthday is, but if it's in the summertime, I feel like the perfect cake for Dominic's birthday is like a power of veto.
The power of veto.
We all know how much he loved Big Brother.
Power of veto would be a small cake.
Yeah. hearted.
It's like a one person cake. It's very, it'd be a very tiny cake.
No, do a big one.
No, you a just power frost it. No, yeah, you frost it. It's a big circle cake, and then you frost it like.
Oh yeah, me and Nicole can make that. That could be a box cake. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know, that's what I'm saying. Is it cake for the, is fun for the whole family?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's your first foray. It's not Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
Simple. Yeah. So Rob, you're committing to this right now on the podcast.
Make Dominic a power veto cake. Yeah. I feel like that, yes. I mean, if it doesn't have to look actually like mistaken for the power of veto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that wouldn't be that hard. I think you just make a cake like in sort of like a circle tin and then just cut out the pieces that aren't supposed to be there.
When's his birthday? Is it the summer?
September 20th. It's a Big Brother finale.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's perfect. And if he's still into it, like I know how it is with kids, they change what they're into like 40 times a year. So if he's still into it, I feel like that's the perfect cake for Dominic's birthday.
Yeah, I think he'd be into it. He'd like it.
If there's a showmance involved, he'll be around for a while. So just like a
stop. Dominic.
Mm-hmm. He likes what he likes, then that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think you should commit to it. I commit to it. Yeah, make it a diamond power veto. You know, spice it up.
Oh, well, I don't have, that's like a Jello mold, I think.
Look, stuff you sound like you know what you're talking about. You sound like you know what you're talking about. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I would like to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see any clear cakes.
Mm-hmm. You could
with gems on top.
Yeah,
edible gems.
Jams. Yeah.
Use real diamonds. Mm-hmm. It's fine. This is your son. Why would you cut corners on this one? You only have two, you know?
One of the things that I did like in the second episode was that it came down to the taste test. Because I felt like in watching the first episode, I'm like, yeah, sure. It looks like cake, but I bet it tastes like garbage. I bet they're sort of like just focused on like, how do I make this? I like that they have to keep in the element of like, does this still have a good flavor?
Yeah. And they didn't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. But Maggie, throughout the first episode, they were talking so much about like what kind of flavors is going to be in this cake? What they're trying to do with the cake, like how it's going to taste. And I was like, but what does it matter? Like I would throw a cake together and focus on the outside, you know, and not even care about the taste. But then to find out in the second episode that it actually does matter. I was like, okay.
And I think that the thing is though, like Chappelle, as like we are notorious haters of fondant and buttercream, like it's going to taste gross to us no matter what, like, cause it's 100%. Just piled with fondant. Can everything. I make a confession? So
I watched two episodes of this. I still don't know what fondant is.
It's like,
it's icing.
Yeah. It's icing, but it's like a layer of icing. Like it's sort of like, you know how when you make a pie and you flatten out a pie crust and like you lay it all in so it's nice and smooth. That's sort of like fondant. It's like super sweet and sugar. It's not sweet though. It's like super sugary and like, yeah, and it's just a flat sheet so that if you put it over something, it'll like lay flat or like follow the ridges of the cake basically. Cause you know how when you ice it, it's like, it's sort of like you glued over top, you know, like fondant is like you took saran wrap and put it on top of it.
Okay. You know? It normally comes in like you'll see it in like almost like a clay form on this show, like where they're like wrapping it on stuff. But then also like they have like a liquid version of it too. But it's basically just like a way to use icing for these cake decorations without it looking like, you know, the piping icing like that like Maggie was talking about. It looks like it. Looks like it could be, like you could just like paint your cake with it, you know, to give it a little flair. But again, I just don't want any of that on my cake.
Yeah, it's not good. It doesn't taste awesome. I mean, to me, if there's fondant lovers out there, like hit me up, I guess. But it's not my favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost never eat, like if I'm at a wedding or something, I never eat the cake. It's just too much like buttercream, too much stuff on there. These like little flowers and shit. I like just give me the cake.
Chappelle, like, I literally, especially with like, you know, cupcakes. It's like the cupcake is this big and then the frosting is like double the size. I wipe the thing, wipe all of the frosting off onto the like cupcake part, the paper, and then I just eat the cake. That's my people. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I've already talked about this, but I don't eat ice cream either. So like I was the worst kid. Really? Yeah, I was the worst kid to have a birthday party for. Cause you know, like parents are always like, let's do cake and ice cream. Even my own mom, who after you would think the first 12 or 13 birthday party, she would have got it by then that I don't want this. She also did not care. But it was one of those things where like you go to somebody else's and they're like, do you want cake and ice cream? No, I'm good. Like, oh no, have some. Like, no, seriously, I don't want this. Like, well, what do you want? Anything? Some chips?
I don't know. Just candy corn, please.
I mean, yeah.
What's your sweet of choice then, Chappelle?
I'm not a big dessert person. I mean, I'll do it, but I'm not like, it's not my go-to now. Of course, I am famously pro candy corn. I know it's controversial.
I guess don't have a sweet tooth.
I don't.
It's like, a savory tooth.
Do you drink pop?
Maggie, what is that?
Soda. Do you drink that?
Oh, it's just like, please speak Texas to me. Yes. I don't drink soda often. Like every now and then, because that's just chock full of sugar, Maggie. At some point, you have to.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so I used to be like, I used to also be like, I don't have a sweet tooth. Like, I don't like cake. I don't really like cookies. It's too much. But then I was drinking a pop every day. Like, clearly, yes, I had a sweet tooth, and it was being satisfied in other places. Yeah. But that is so, because I was like, okay, I'm going to get him on the pop. He probably just went to pop. But no, it sounds like you just like don't have a sweet tooth.
I'm not a sweets guy, but I do. I like a good cookie. Like, you give me a cookie, let it be infused. I'll eat whatever. I don't care. You want
when you come for know-it-alls, Chappelle, I'm going to take you to Levain and we're going to get a cookie.
Is it infused?
If you like cookies. No, it's not.
I'm going to bring you a cookie. And you make them
not on the plane. Don't do that.
No, we're going to play a different game. Is it infused? Okay. That's going to be the game.
If anybody sees me and Chappelle at know-it-alls, you'll be able to guess. You guys can play the game. Was it infused? Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Spoiler alert, it will be. I just don't know where I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Can they do, is it a cookie?
No. Wait. Well, like, what constitutes a cookie versus a cake? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, like, what is the definition? Yeah,
I would rather do a cookie cake than a cake any day.
Oh, yes, Maggie, preach, queen. Mm-hmm. Yes, give me a cookie cake.
I'm not a big cake person either.
Yes, this is an anti-cake podcast. We'll take it.
If anything, I like a cake that has to be like super like rich. Like I like a flourless chocolate cake or something like that. Like even cheesecake.
What is that?
Yeah.
What is a flourless chocolate cake taste like?
It's like super, super, super chocolatey.
I can take, I'm not kidding, Rob, like one bite of something like that and I would be satisfied. It's too much. It overwhelms me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't eat the whole thing. Oh. It's just that's what I would like.
You know, my cake outlier. Like I have the one. I have this one cake that has my number. The bakery Nothing But Cakes. Oh my God. It's like a franchise.
I don't know if y'all are familiar with it.
Nothing But Cakes.
Okay.
And every year on my birthday, they send me like an email and say like, hey, it's Nothing But Cake. You want to, it's your birthday. Come get your bundt cake. And it's like this little bundt cake. And I don't know, like they just like sprinkle crack on it because it is addictive. And I just like, I will drive far and wide to go collect my bundt cake. The flavors, those people, like I said, I don't even like cake, but it, like, I'm like Maggie, I can just eat one piece of it and be fine. Mm-hmm. But it's so good that I will eat a bite of that cake every day. Just like one bite and then go on about my day.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Chappelle, we are the same. My roommate calls me a psycho because I keep a bar of chocolate in our cabinet and I have one piece every night before bed because it satisfies me. Like I just have one little piece of like dark chocolate. So it's not even like sugary chocolate. It's like 80% cacao. Yeah. I eat that and I'm like delicious. And he's like, you literally are scary. Like you have mental problems. What's going on?
And I take one bite of a brownie every night before bed, but it's just to help me sleep, you know? This is one bite. I'm fine. I don't have to eat the whole thing. Okay. I'm not going anywhere. This is chill.
Hey, anything else on Netflix show?
Nothing But Cakes.
Is it cake?
Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, it looks like an easy watch. And like I said, as a competition show, it has my attention because there are some shows like The Great British Bake Off show where it's very relaxed. And we talked about that is the appeal of the show. It is very much like it is about the artistry of making the cake and about baking and these people putting their heart and joy into this cake, like they're sold into it. And then you got this where it's like, no, let's do wacky stuff. Let's do all the mm-hmm. stupid stuff that we took out of that show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do a gimmick. Give me the gimmick. And so I'm fine with this. I'm sure it was easy as hell to produce. Like, this has to be a very cheap show to mm-hmm. produce. I would mm-hmm. not be shocked if we did it a few more times. But just the idea that this basically came from a Twitter trend is what really has my attention. Those days where you would get on Twitter and you'd look at a rack of ribs and be like, oh my God, that looks so good. And someone would just slice into it and it'd be cake. It was gut-wrenching. But it spawned this show. And I'm okay with that. So I really did enjoy it, Maggie.
You know, Chappelle, it's so funny because as I was watching the first episode with my roommate, he said this would be the perfect show to watch, you know, if we were eating something infused.
Infused.
If we were playing is infused, because it would be very fun to watch and be like, this is cake. This isn't cake. So now it's come full circle. And, you know, you're saying, like, I feel like this is the perfect, like, late night, chill out, have a glass or two, or enjoy yourself in another way, you know?
Right. Much like the subject matter it covers, I think this show is not a main course. Like, mm-hmm. it is a snack. It is a dessert. And I think that should be treated as such, where, like, I don't think that this is something that you would, like, have as, like, the main thing you're doing. But this is a great show to have on, like, as you are just, like, doing things around your house. You could probably have all 8 episodes just, like, play and not even realize that they're over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think most cake shows are like that. You know, mm-hmm. I think really, like, when you dive deep into it, like, I know we found ourselves in Food Network wormholes before, where you just look up and you're like, is this still on? Like, is this show still on TV? I'm not going to change it, but I'm like, why are they still doing this? Why are they still baking cakes? Or are they still nailing it?
There was a summer in college where I watched, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding, 50 episodes of this show called Cutthroat Kitchen.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of it? Where they like sabotage each other? Mm-hmm. It was like perfect for me to just like turn off my brain and watch this cutthroat kitchen show and watch people have to cook their entire like pasta dish on upside down pots. Like that's literally like, it was so perfect. And this is very similar. I feel it's gimmicky. It's quick. It's, you know,
you have to cook on upside down like pots. You said.
That's like, they would literally sabotage them, where it's like they like take away a bunch of stuff and then you have to like, so you would win like $5,000 at the end of the round, mm-hmm. or like you start with $10,000 and then they're like, this is the sabotage. Like these are all the sabotages, and you can buy this sabotage and give it to somebody else, or you can save your money. So at the end, if you win, like you're pulling from your own pot of money. Mm-hmm. Literally they would like, one of the sabotages was like cook on upside down pots and pans and stuff. But this is, I brought it up to say this is very similar, like, you know, vibe.
If you haven't sat through 625 episodes of Chopped in one day, then we're not the same. We're just not, you know, like I, it's on TV and it wasn't bothering me. It's like, it's either this or 8 hours of Law and Order SVU. Mm-hmm. I might go either one.
Chappelle, we are the same.
Let's do it. like this is it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why would I change the channel? That's too much work. They're just going to keep playing this and I'm going to keep watching it. And so this is right alongside with that. Give me 4 more seasons of this and potentially a movie. I'll take
a movie. Wow.
That is so funny. Like, literally, you just named my entire taste.
Yeah.
Immaculate my taste in cake, my taste in binge television shows.
Maggie, this was our first podcast together. You cannot tell me different. I'm sorry. We would have talked about this.
If there was one prior, this one takes the cake.
Yeah.
Yes. Ding.
Should we talk about what's coming up next week on Nothing But Netflix? A lot of stuff dropping on Netflix.
Yeah. So, Rob, I think we have an idea for what we want to do next week, but I do want to explore the other stuff that's coming out. Right. Like, I think, like I said, we already made our decision.
It's been a minute since we talked about what else is on Netflix right now.
Yeah. And we have Maggie here who has immaculate taste, as we've already explored. So, yeah, I think we can talk about the new on Netflix.
Let's
and what's
talk about the top 10. Number one right now, of course, no surprise, Bridgerton is back. Of course, that we defer to our friends over on the post-show recaps for episode by episode coverage of Bridgerton, probably better than we could do. I think it's safe to say, right?
100% Have you seen the
I
lineup?
Did watch the Those first people, one. Yeah.
They're the heavy hitters. They are.
The heavy hitters. Okay. Adam Project is still at number 4. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. I feel like that almost nobody is talks about Adam Project because people are still watching it.
Yeah. It's just a little late to the party. Mm-hmm. Maggie, did you watch it?
No, I didn't, but it's a family movie, right? Like it's very
it's
much
family-ish.
Yeah.
There's a family in it.
I would imagine that it's the type of movie like we're on spring break sort of around the country that like if you're at home with your family for the night, you're going to put that on, which is probably why it's not getting a ton of like traction on Twitter. Because I don't know that like early people in their early 20s are like, this is the movie I'm trying to watch tonight. But like for a like a family or, you know, like I don't know. That's what I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. OK.
Makes sense.
All right. Then. Also, I see human resources is in the top 9. I know Postal Recaps also has some coverage on that if you're seeking that out.
Rob, the Lindsay Wilson is covering that on Postal Recaps.
Yes, so with Grace Leader on human resources. Okay. Chappelle, there's a brand new documentary on Netflix that's arriving this week. It's called The Principles of Pleasure. Should we check that out?
The principle of pleasure.
That's what is it?
Sex, joy, and modern science converge in this eye-opening series that celebrates the complex world of women's pleasure and puts stubborn myths to rest.
Yes. Do it.
If we do it, we got to bring back Maggie as our guest.
Okay.
It's a three-part series.
That's embarrassing for me, but okay, let's do it.
You threw us right under the bus, Maggie. Like, yes, do it. Like, okay, well, you're coming too. That's hilarious. Put a pin in that one.
Add that to the queue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very funny. All right. Then coming this week, there's something called Trivia Quest, which seems like it's an interactive game show to Netflix. They experiment with some of this interactive stuff.
Trivia Quest used to be like a game on your phone, right? Like 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same exact thing, like animated with like the cartoons kind of doing like the answering the questions and it's multiple choice. But I guess it's for you to be able to play at home in like the same vein of, you know, some of these interactive Netflix shows that, you know, allow you to choose your own adventure, or answer questions throughout. I don't know if it would be good podcasting material to tell everybody exactly how much I don't know, but they probably already know if they've been listening to this that I'm not the smartest.
There's a film called The Bubble, which is billed as sneaking out, hooking up, melting down. The cast and crew of a blockbuster action franchise attempt to shoot a sequel while quarantining at a posh hotel. Looks like it's like behind the scenes of like making a movie during COVID, but it's a fake movie.
Oh, so it's like, it's the story of that if it was a true premise.
Yes, but it's a, you know, it is fiction.
Okay. That actually sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting. And we have a couple like very like good filmmakers and people in the film industry in our podcast realm. Yes. You know, I'm sure we could reach out to maybe like a Matt Scott or somebody who's directed stuff before.
And also that Sam Moore is telling us that that is a Judd Apatow film.
Oh, that'll be great then.
The Bubble.
Is Leslie Mann in the film?
I'm not sure.
That is how I decide if I'm going to watch a Judd Apatow film.
You will watch if she is in it or if she is not in it.
I'm a man stan. Yeah. Leslie is amazing.
Karen Gillan, Iris Apatow. There's another one?
There's two.
Yeah. And then there's the little one. Iris isn't the one on Euphoria, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other one. Fred Armisen, David Duchovny. Oh, Keegan-Michael Key, Kate McKinnon, Pedro Pascal.
So, cast, Rob. We might have to do it.
Yeah, rated R, Chappelle. I don't know. I know you don't like stuff that's R-rated.
Yeah, ew. Adults. Gross.
Yeah.
Bring me Coco Melon. You know, we never really did Coco Melon. I think I was robbed. It's still in the top 10.
It's still in the top 10. We can do it any week we want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evergreen, that Coco Melon.
Yes. And then stuff coming next week. There's something called Metal Lords, which is looks like it's a comedy for teenage misfits. Hunter and Kevin, the path to glory is clear. Devote themselves to metal, win Battle of the Bands, and be worshipped like gods.
That's fun.
Yeah, it seems like a fun, like a funny premise.
It does sound fun.
Barbie, yeah, it takes two.
So, Sparky, it takes two.
Yeah. So, all right. But Chappelle, I believe that we are pretty set on what we're going to cover next week.
Yes, I think next week, this show was actually like very like in high demand on Nothing But Netflix. Like the Twitter account was getting some DMs. We've been talking about it in the Discord. It's the buzz. We are going to dive into the fast and amazing world of Formula One racing and talk about Formula One Drive to Survive. And I think we have a guest for that already confirmed. Mm-hmm. It is my, I have not talked to this person since we did the top 40 Survivor countdown, but we talked about Survivor the Australian Outback, Miss Amy Chan.
Yes.
And so I think Amy is going to catch us up. So this show is on season 4. Well, there is no world where Rob and I are going to be able to watch 40 episodes of television. So we are going to jump in to season 4, episode 1 and 2. And mm-hmm. let Amy catch us up on everything else as we talk about Formula One
Drive to Survive. Yeah, I hear from everybody that watches this show, it's incredible. The average person that I hear about, like, hey, I didn't care about NASCAR. I don't watch NASCAR. I don't know anything about it. I love this. This was incredible reality TV.
I've seen a few episodes. I saw parts of the first season, and yeah, it was really good. And I'm thinking that we can jump into season 4, episodes 1 and 2, yeah. Because like I just really doubt the amount of characters and racers and companies that they're balancing, that they're still following the same people that they were following since season 1, mm-hmm. or that you have to be following very closely to know what's going on. I'm pretty sure Amy is skilled enough to like catch us up, right. and we'll enjoy it. I think you really will like it.
And like I did with you, if anybody has any great videos to sort of like catch up on what I might have missed in the first couple of seasons of Formula One on Netflix, please like shoot me those links and I will watch them before I dive into season 4.
Yeah, okay? Tweet us the hotspots. Let us know what we should be missing. Like give us the highlights, you know, so that way when Amy starts dropping the gems, we'll know what she's talking about. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a good time. And I haven't talked to Amy in a while, so this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you know how I can tell that Bridgerton is huge on Netflix right now?
How?
I just got an email from Uber Eats that says, Burgerton season is afoot at Chili's, Chappelle.
Look, the people want the Bridgerton content. I've been seeing it all day. I think even Janelle from Big Brother was like, well, Bridgerton's out. I'll be glued to my, I'll be merged with my sheets as I binge watch this show. Yeah. I was like, Janelle,
I'm halfway through. I'm already halfway really through. Really, Maggie? So, yeah, I watched it last night. It's great.
See? It's a big deal. And so, yeah, luckily, Potion Recaps has a handle. Yeah.
What?
Even without the Duke.
You know, okay, so this is my thing. That last season, the Duke was the most handsome man I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
So I felt strongly about them. This season, the storyline is super fun. It's essentially Taming of the Shrew, right? It's like you want the younger hot sister, so you got to get through her older sister who's mean. And then you fall for the older sister. You know, it's like all of that. But I was like the first 3 episodes, I was like, they don't really have that much chemistry. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then they do. They do. Okay. It gets there. Don't you fret,
I said they everybody. This is a big mistake. Don't do this. Just shut the whole thing down if you don't have the Duke.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay, so this is what my theory on it. My theory on it is that Daphne, his wife character, the Daphne Bridgerton, she's in this season, but like very much like pops her head in to be like, hello, I'm away from my husband mm-hmm. and child, blah, blah, blah. And I do think that if
for that Duke, imagine how much screen time I would have.
No, literally, like if he was in it, I think that we would see a whole storyline of you like them as career. New parents.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think her career is just fine, but I do think that she like would have had a lot more to do this season if he had agreed to show up, because they mm-hmm. would have given at least 2 or 3 scenes an episode to them. Like they would have a whole storyline about being new parents and like, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I don't know.
All right. And Rob,
yes,
you know, not to spoil anything for the future, but have you been seeing there's been some rumblings about Squid Game season 2.
Oh my God. No, yeah. I didn't see any rumblings.
Yes, they've been talking about its production. I think one of the struggles they're having right now is trying to figure out how to change those childhood games to where it still grabs everyone's attention, but it's not the same as the Squid Game that we know from before. So, Rob, in the near future, we could be talking about Squid Game 2 and discussing all the craziness that can happen when they bring back that show that I said they shouldn't have brought back. Like, I really thought they had everything that they needed. Mm-hmm. They got what they
sure
wanted.
Sure wrapped it up.
But... yeah, and now they have to, like, recapture the
money.
Magic.
That the money. Yes.
Is that what the Duke right left Bridgerton to go do, Squid Game 2?
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maggie, where can we keep up with what you're doing?
Yes, you can find me right now. I'm covering Temptation Island with the incredible Kirsten McInnes over on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed in the Rehab Up Network. We cover that week to week, trying to get Chappelle to come on. But I don't know if it's going to work out with his schedule. Trying to get you to come on at one point, Rob. Yes. I don't know if that's going to work out with your schedule either, but trying. Mm-hmm. And I'm also doing Big Brother Canada. I'll be on the update on Monday to talk about what everyone's doing in there. And you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_.
Okay. Great job talking about all of the cake here today with us. Chappelle, what's Thanks, coming Rob. Up for you?
Stuff, you know, podcasting, you know, regular life stuff. But yeah, so I think most recently I'm starting our season of Atlanta on Post Show Recaps. Yes. So myself, Latanya Starks, and Mari Forth are all covering that. Season 3 just started. They dropped 2 episodes on the first, like yesterday. And so we have to podcast about 2 episodes this week, which is going to be a little tiring, but we're going to get it done. So we're going to be talking about every season, every episode of Atlanta on Post Show Recaps.
Can I ask you a question? How do you watch the old episodes of Atlanta if you want to catch up?
Hulu, it's on Hulu, it's Hulu. Or YouTube TV, whatever. Yeah, it's out there. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy. It's an easy watch. Very quick. Episodes are very short. Well, at least they were. I think this last episode was kind of long to me.
It's a 30-minute show or it's an hour show?
No, it's a 30-minute show.
Oh,
But
that changes everything.
Right. It's 30 minutes and some change. It's 30 minutes and some change sometime, but it's not an hour. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they dropped 2 episodes of that. So we're trying to keep up and catch and make sure the content is out for that. Bel Air is still on. There's 2 more episodes left. Puya and I are covering Bel Air on Post Show Recaps, and we're having the time of our lives. We're creeping up on the finale. I could not say how much fun I'm having talking to Puya about the show. So check that out if you haven't already on Post Show Recaps. And then still on Post Show Recaps. Post Show Recaps have my whole life in their hands. You know, did you notice this? I am talking about The Walking Dead on Post Show Recaps with AJ Mass and Jessica Lees and Josh Wiggler. And
I can't believe you're still watching that, Chappelle.
Season?
Okay, this is the thing. Like, we literally have the exact same taste because I was in with The Walking Dead until like season 5. And then I had to let it go. It was time for me to let it go.
A lot of people felt that way.
That's normal, but the show has gotten good. Last season, they really have like started to hit some notes that I like. And so I'm enjoying myself over there too. But yeah, that's what I got going on. Heavy on the Post Show Recaps right now. And of course, talking to you, Rob, every chance I get.
Okay. All right. And thank you so much again for joining us here on Nothing But Netflix. We'll be back next week to talk about all of the Formula One racing going on Netflix. Thanks for checking everything out. And of course, we got so much more going on over at robinswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.